Jesus said in Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." This picture we have in Revelation 3 and verse 20 of Jesus standing at the door and knocking is one that is familiar to all of us, to anyone who's ever gone and visited someone else and stood outside the door and knocked on the door. We understand exactly what he's talking about. Sometimes we go and we knock on people's doors who are not home. Sometimes we go and knock on people's doors who are home, but for one reason or another, they can't come to the door. Sometimes we knock on people's door and the people just do not want to answer our knock. And I think that as we look at this picture that Jesus presents here in Revelation 3 and verse 20, that he is patiently standing there knocking on the door, and he keeps knocking, and he keeps knocking. Jesus is not going to stop knocking on the door just because of whatever is going on inside the house. And why is that? Because he is the most important thing that there is. And when he knocks on the door, we really need to answer the door. Now, Jesus has some promises for those who answer the door. He says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me." And again, this is a figure, it's a metaphor, if you will, of fellowship with Jesus. And as Jesus is knocking on that door, and we're on the other side of the door, we better answer that door. And I think that a lot of us in the audience today have answered that door. And we've let Jesus in, and now Jesus is part of our life. But you see, there are other doors that need to be knocked on. And Jesus is going to go do the knocking on those doors. Now consider this, that Jesus is the head of the body. When we think about a body has a head, and a body has arms and legs and fingers and toes. And all of those different parts of the body take Jesus, the head, to all the places that he goes to. And so we are his feet and we are his hands. When he's knocking on that door, we better be one of the fingers that's there knocking on that door, inviting others to open the door so that they can listen to our head, who is Jesus the Christ. And so you see, we're either on the other side of the door or we are with Jesus. There's no more than those two options. And I want to be with Jesus. And I hope that you want to be with Jesus also. And so what does that mean? It means that we need to be knocking on the door with Jesus. In one way or another, we've got to knock on that door with him. Now we call this personal evangelism. And Jesus, of course, told us to evangelize the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. So, evangelism, seeking and saving that which was lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Jesus is involved in that work. It is his work. And if we are going to be part of Jesus' body, then we are going to be involved in that work. We're going to make that work our work as well. Because that's what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying to accomplish. To seek and to save that which is lost. To bring as many people as he can into his body, the church, which is God's eternal purpose. And that's what God wants us to be involved in as well. And so are we doing that? Are we knocking with Jesus on that door? That's the question that I want us to ask ourselves this morning. And as we think about that, I want us to think about three things that we can do, and specifically that we can say to our friends as we're involved in personal evangelism. Now, a lot of people, they say, well, I don't know how to evangelize. I don't know how to talk to my friends about Jesus. Well, we need to know, and we need to learn, and we've got to work on it, and we've got to make an effort. And that's one of our points this morning, is making the effort. Because sometimes we just don't make the effort. We just don't do what Jesus tells us to do. Now, we all know what it means to do something, right? Because we've all had children. And we've all told them to do things at certain times. You know how children are sometimes. They just don't do what you tell them to do. And sometimes we're a lot like little children, okay? So think about, you know, if our children acted like we do in relationship to Jesus' commands to go and tell other people about the gospel. Think about that for just a moment. So let's say my children come in and I say, now go clean your room. And they go off and they come back and they say, Dad, I've memorized what you've said. You've told me to go clean my room. Now sometimes we do that. We say, well, I've memorized what Jesus said. But that's not doing what Jesus did. What if the children come back and they say, Dad, I can tell you what you said in Greek. Well, that would be impressive, wouldn't it? But he still hasn't cleaned his room yet, right? Now, we know what it means to do what we're told to do. And Jesus told us to go and to tell others about him. So we've got to get out there and we've got to do. Not just memorize what Jesus said. Now, that's helpful. Don't get me wrong. Not learn it in Greek. We can learn it in Greek, and that's helpful. Don't misunderstand me. But we've got to actually, at some point in our life, go to someone else, another human being, another person, and talk to them about Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said to do. Now, there's all kinds of things that we say, well, Jesus said to do this, and Jesus said to do that, that we want to be involved in. And we can do all of those wonderful things, and there's nothing wrong with doing them, but Jesus said to go and tell other people about me. And if we're not doing that, then we're not fulfilling the most basic command that Jesus said, to evangelize the lost. Now, how do we do that? How do I talk to my friends and my family about the gospel? And the first point is this: we have got to make the effort. Now, each one of us has friends and each one of us have family that are not part of the body of Christ, okay? And they need to be part of the body of Christ. God wants them to be part of the body of Christ. He wants Jesus Christ to save them through the plan that Jesus gave for salvation. That's what God wants. And we all have friends and family who are in that situation. And so what do I say to them? How do I talk to them about Jesus? Well, first of all, I've got to make the effort to talk. Because you cannot teach someone about Jesus without talking to them. Now, example is good. Don't get me wrong. We want to set a great example. We can't be in the business of saying one thing and doing another. That's unacceptable. And if we have a bad example, then our talk to others about Jesus is not going to help us. It's going to hinder our efforts, all right? And so we need to have a good example, but it's not enough to just be an example. At some point, we've actually got to talk to someone else about Jesus. We've actually got to sit down and tell them what Jesus said. Example is good. We should all set good examples. But there's more to preaching and teaching the gospel than just setting a good example. Jesus did not say, go into all the world and exemplify. Now we should do that. But he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that involves talking. It involves speaking. And we've got to be involved in that speaking. We must use words to tell other people about the gospel. We cannot preach the gospel without our example. But someone cannot be converted to Christ without hearing the word. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. and hearing by the Word of God. And so we've got to speak the Word to them. We've actually got to say, I want to talk to you about the gospel. Now, I don't know anyone in here except for maybe the smallest children who can't say those words. I want to talk to you about the gospel. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful statement to make. That's a beautiful effort to tell someone else about Jesus. I want to talk to you about the gospel. Now, we can all say those words, and we can all say them to other people. And we all need to do something like that. Say something like that. And so what do? When you say those words, you schedule a time to visit with them. You see, we can talk about talking all day long, but until we schedule a time, we haven't made a commitment. And no one else has made a commitment either until we schedule a time. And so we need to schedule a time. We need to say, I want to talk to you about the gospel, and I have these times available to talk to you about the gospel. Now, every single person in here who is a child of God ought to have some time in their schedule to talk to somebody else about the gospel. And if you don't have time in your schedule to talk to somebody else about the gospel, then you are too busy. And you need to make time to talk to somebody else about the gospel. And we need to have times in our schedule that are left open so that we can talk to others about the gospel. So that if the opportunity arises, that we will have a time that is ready to talk to them about the gospel. And hopefully they will have a time that is ready as well. And so each of us should have time in our schedule. And we should offer these times when we visit with folks. So when I come up to someone and I say, I want to talk to you about the gospel, and they say, that's great, I would love to talk to you about the gospel. My very next question is this. I can meet with you on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Is that a good time for you? Or I can meet with you on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Is that a good time for you? Okay? That's how we need to approach talking to other people about the gospel. Now, you're not going to teach the gospel to somebody in casual conversation. All right? That's not going to happen. The only way to teach the gospel to somebody is to sit down with them and talk with them about the gospel. It requires a serious conversation. It requires giving some time. And if somebody's not willing to give some time, then they're not going to be interested in the gospel. If you're not willing to give some time, then you need to change so that you can make time to give that time to someone else and talk to them about the gospel. And as we're talking to them about the gospel, a good thing to do is to give them a Bible. Now, we have just recently purchased 200 of these little Bibles right here. Okay? We've just purchased 200 of these little Bibles right here. Now, I've already given some away, so we don't have 200 left. But that's okay. We've still got plenty of these little Bibles left. And we've ordered some stamps to stamp them with, and we're going to stamp these Bibles with our return address and all that good stuff. But the point of having these little Bibles, and they were real, real good deal. We got a good deal on these Bibles. These are wonderful Bibles. They have a very attractive cover on it. I would be very happy and delighted and proud to give somebody one of these Bibles. It's not a junk Bible, okay, like you see sometimes in the store that's just so cheap and flimsy and it's going to fall apart. This Bible is not like that, okay? This is a nice Bible. And anybody who wants one, and we got them at such a good price that we can afford to give them away to anybody who wants one. Now, these are personal evangelism Bibles, okay? And they have, in the back, they have the World Bible School Bible Study, the Bible Correspondence course in the back, with questions. And so this makes it real easy to share the gospel with somebody else. And so there you can see in the back, the very first lesson, God has spoken. And you can go to these lessons and you can open them up and you can give one of the, you can take one of these Bibles with you and then you can give one of these Bibles to somebody else. And you can sit down with them and study this material with them. It's not hard. It's very easy to do, and it's very simple. It's just a matter of doing it. And so we want to give. Now, we need to give people a Bible. They need to be able to study the Bible. Because it's God's Word that engenders faith in people's life. And that's what we want to have preeminence in their life, is the Word of God. And so when you visit someone, or when you sit down and talk to someone, have a point, make a point of having some Bibles with you. And we have these Bibles available that we can use in that Bible study. And they are available. And so you can say, let's schedule a time to sit down and study the Bible. I've got Bibles I will bring to the Bible study, and I will give you a free Bible. And so there you go. We can do that, okay? But we've got to make the effort to do that. Now, what can you say as you're studying through these courses, all right? And if you want to sit down and do that Bible study with them, that would be great. And just study through these courses with them, that's wonderful. But now, there's some other things that we can say to talk to people about the gospel. When you talk to somebody about the gospel, we need to talk about value, okay? We need to talk about individual value. And I'm talking the value of every single person's life, and every single person, not just their life, but the person themselves. You see, this is the issue. Sin causes us to devalue ourselves. We are our own problem. And that's true for every single person in the world. And most people don't feel valued. Now, if you feel 100% valued, then great. You still need the gospel. But most people don't feel valued. And the reason they don't feel valued is because of their own sin, because sin devalues us. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, God says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God so that he will not hear." So sin does it to us. Sin separates us from God, and it causes us to devalue ourselves. And what we ultimately get paid for our sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. And so what do we do while we're waiting on death to come because of our sins? We devalue ourselves. Well, people need to know that God values them. That God doesn't see people as people see people and as we see ourselves. God looks at us as being very, very valuable, of infinite value, in fact. Because, number one, we were created in His image, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And number two, because God has given His Son for us, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, those two things mean that we are valuable, and we need to talk to people about value. We need to tell them that they are valuable. When we talk to them about the gospel, we need to say, you are valuable. God values you. And He wants you to be part of this wonderful kingdom that He has prepared for you. Yes, God values us. And He shows that over and over again. God doesn't want anyone to perish. You know, a lot of times people get it in their minds that God just wants to punish me. God wants to, you know, send me to hell or something like that. That is false. God does not want that. That is not God's thinking. And if we're thinking like that, we better repent of that thinking, because that is not what God is thinking. The Bible tells us that God does not delight in the death of the sinner. He does not want the sinner to die unrepentant. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God loves every single person. And He values them so highly that He's given His Son Jesus for them. And so tell people, God loves you. God values you. And He is doing everything in His power so that you can be with Him. Because that's exactly what God is doing. And people need to know that they are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the most precious thing that ever graced the face of this earth, was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And God poured that out for every single person. Peter said, knowing that you are ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You were redeemed. You were ransomed. You were bought back with the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19. You were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. God paid an expensive price, the most valuable price. And that's how God values each person. God values you. And we need to tell people that. We need to tell people how much God really does value them. We can talk to them about that. People need to hear that. That is surprising to so many people, for them to know that God values them. So let's talk about value, and let's talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. Every single person is worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if God didn't believe that, He would not have had Jesus go to the cross and pour out His blood there for them. Right? Now, isn't that right? If God didn't believe that every single person was worth the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, do you think that for one minute God would have had His Son, Jesus, executed on that cross? He would not have. And so what does that tell us? That we're really worth something. Now, we do things that are worthless, all right? Our actions, our sinful actions are worthless. But we ourselves, as individuals, each one of us is worth the blood of Christ. We're worth the price that God paid for us. And God wants us to know that. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ, or else God wouldn't have paid that price. Now, we need to talk about value. And then finally, we need to talk about identity. So what do we do to talk to our friends and family about the gospel? Number one, we've got to make the effort. We've got to get out there and talk to them, invite them to Bible study, give them a Bible, sit down with them, study the Bible. Number two, we need to talk about value. Talk about how much God values them and that they're worth the blood of Christ. And then number three, we've got to talk about identity. Sin causes us to lose our identity. Sin takes us away from our true identity, which is in Christ Jesus. And most people don't understand that. Most people just go their own way, putting their identity in whatever that comes along in life, such as their occupation. So many people identify with their jobs. And they say, well, that's who I am. That's what I am. That's what I do. But that's not their identity. But a lot of people do that. A lot of people identify with their families. And they say, well, I'm such and so, you know. I'm a Collie, or I'm a Smith, or I'm a Jones, or whatever. You know, and that's who I am. That's not who I am. That's not who we are. We are not our family associations. That's not our identity. Okay? Some people put their identity in other things. Wealth, or beauty, or sexuality. Or many, many other things people put their identity in. We're familiar with identity politics in this country today. And the protection of all of those identities, of what people want to put their identity in. A lot of which is just garbage, you know. And people are destroying their lives over and over again because of false identity. And sin creates false identity within our lives. You see, because we are easily confused. We are easily confused. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9-10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart above all things is deceitful. And that means I can be easily confused about a lot of things. But God is trying to cut through all of that. And say, your identity is in one person, and that person is Jesus the Christ. And that's it. That's all. That's all there is to it. To just put our identity in Jesus. And if we do that, then we won't have a problem with our identity. Christians of all people should know who they are. Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's a statement of identity. Who am I? I am crucified with Christ. That is my old self. He's dead and gone. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's my identity. That's who I am. I should be living for Jesus Christ each and every day of my life. And I should have Christ in me, the hope of glory, as we talked about this morning in Colossians chapter 1. Because that is our hope, Jesus the Christ. And that's where our identity is. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. Philippians 1 and verse 21. To me to live is Christ. That's it. That's all there is to it. There's really nothing more than that. Because Jesus is the only one that I really need. He's the only thing that I really need. And beyond Him, there is nothing more. Jesus said it like this in John 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's a statement of identity. And we need to put our identity in Jesus the Christ. And how do we identify with Christ Jesus? Now, if the Bible had just said, put your identity in Christ and left it at that, we'd be all confused as to what I needed to do to identify with Christ. But the Bible has made it very clear how to put our identity in Christ Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through 28. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through 28. Paul is talking about identity in the book of Galatians because the Galatians have lost their identity in a man-made system of doctrines and teachings that they have adopted and accepted, and they need to go back to Christ. And so Paul is trying to get them to return to Christ from the doctrine that they had received, which was another gospel, he said in chapter 1. But he says in Galatians chapter 3, and verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now there's identity. Sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if we are in Christ, then we are sons or children of God. Okay? Now look what he says. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. So you see, that's how we identify with Christ. We are baptized into Christ, and when we do that, we put on Christ, and we say, I am identifying with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be part of His body, the church. I'm going to be a member of the body of Christ, and Jesus is going to be my head, my Lord. I'm going to own Him as that, and then I'm going to make Him my identity. That's identifying with Christ. So he says, as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now look what happens as a result of that in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. In other words, my identity is no longer my ethnicity. All right? There's neither Jew. There is neither slave nor free. My identity is no longer my status in society. What else? There is neither male nor female. My identity is not within my sex. Okay? That's not where my identity is as a Christian. What else? There's neither male nor female. And then he says this, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. My identity is in Christ. That's where my identity firmly is. And because of that, I can be at one with all other Christians. And if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And being Christ, I am in the family of God. I am a child of God. I am a brother or a sister of Jesus Christ in that family. And as a result of that, I am an heir of the wonderful promises that God has made to Christ Jesus. And so there's a way to identify with Christ. And we need to talk to our friends and families about identifying with Christ. So think about these things. I hope that you will pray about them, and I hope that you will take them into serious consideration to go out this week and remember what we said earlier in the lesson, that Jesus is knocking on that door, and there's someone on the other side, and He wants them to open. And we're either knocking with Him, or we're on the other side of the door needing to open the door to let Jesus in. Now, it's either one of those two things. Now, we need to be knocking with Him. We need to be making the effort to tell other people about Jesus. We need to be talking about the value that God has assigned to us through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we need to be talking to people about identifying with Christ. And we can say these things, these very simple things. These are things that we can say. Number one, I want to talk to you about the gospel. Number two, let's schedule a time to sit down and study the Bible. Number three, God values you. Number four, you are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Number five, put your identity in Jesus. Now, we can say all of those things, and those are all great things to say, super great things to say, that we need to say to other people. Now, Jesus commands us to go out there and tell others about Him. And so it's left up to us whether or not we're going to do that job or whether we're not going to do it. And Jesus knows who is obeying Him and who isn't obeying Him. And I hope this morning that each one of us wants to obey Jesus. And so let's do what Jesus wants us to do and go out there and tell others about Him. And it's really very simple, and we can do it. Each one of us can do that job. And so why not make it your aim and your goal to do what Jesus wants you to do this week and to go talk to somebody else about Him? Doesn't mean they're going to say yes. Doesn't mean that they're going to sit down and immediately want to be baptized. It doesn't mean any of that. But it does mean if you do that, that you are doing what Jesus wants you to do. Now, why not do that at least once this week? Now, we want to do that right now too. If you are not a Christian, you're not a child of God, then we invite you to become one, to put your identity in Jesus this very hour and know who He is. God values you. God loves you. He gave His Son Jesus on the cross for you, paid the price of Jesus' blood for your soul. Now, God thinks very highly of you, and He wants you to be part of His kingdom. So why not identify with Jesus this very hour and be baptized into His body and be part of the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ, and fulfill God's eternal purpose of His wanting all people to come together in the body of Christ in peace and love and joy. And that can be part of your life. That's what God wants for you. That's what He created you for. So why not do that this very morning? If you need the prayers of the church to help in that regard, then we're available to do that as well. Won't you come while we stand and sing?